Legend of Yue Fei, Chapter 72.
Let's set the scene. Black Man Long has already brought his troops through the three passes, crucial strategic point.
And he's heading for the capital, Linan, which is modern Hangzhou. But the excuse he gives is flimsy, right? Fighting some internal group, the Yao Man?
Totally flimsy. Everyone seems to know it's a smokescreen. His real goal is clear. Get Jin Hui. Avenge the Marshal.
And here's a key detail you pointed out earlier. The local officials aren't stopping him.
No, quite the opposite. The text stresses this. They supply him. They give him provisions, aid.
Which frames this whole thing differently. It's not just a rogue general. It's presented as almost a sanctioned mission by the people.
Pretty much. A punitive strike aimed squarely at the chief offender. Well, not the emperor or the state itself. It has this moral weight behind it.
So you've got this force with massive popular backing bearing down on the capital. And inside, the target, Jin Hui, is already falling apart.
Exactly. Physically and, well, spiritually too, it seems. Let's look at how those two threads, the external military threat and the internal collapse, unfold together.
Okay, so inside Linan, what's the mood?
Absolute panic. You have these top officials, Zhang, Jun, Moki Si, Luo Ruji, getting flooded with urgent messages. The SORS calls them snowflakes, these constant appeals for help.
And the message is simple. Black Man Long is demanding they hand over Qin Hui, the Grand Tutor.
Right, but when they go to tell Qin Hui, or perhaps try to consult him, they find he's already in a terrible state.
He's bedridden, and the text gives this very specific diagnosis, doesn't it?
It does. Senbei, Fa Chenzong. A severe, heavy carbuncle on his back.
Okay, Fabe. A carbuncle on the back. Why is that specific detail important? It sounds nasty, but is there more to it?
Oh, definitely. In traditional Chinese narratives and medicine, this kind of ailment, especially Fabe, wasn't just seen as, you know, a random infection.
It meant something.
It was often directly linked to moral failing, to hidden sin, corruption, treachery. It's like the inner rot manifesting physically.
So it's the disease of a traitor, basically. Wow, the universe is already judging him before Black Man Long even gets close.
That's exactly the implication, and it makes what happens next even more striking.
They tell him Black Man Long is coming for him. He screams.
The physical result is immediate and, frankly, horrifying. His back carbuncle bursts. The text says, Bei Chuang Bing Lai.
It just bursts.
Yeah, and he collapses, comatose. The narrative draws a direct line. The terror of human vengeance triggers the physical explosion of his inner corruption.
Unbelievable. But it gets stranger because the emperor himself, Gao Zong, comes to visit.
He does. And Qin Hui actually stirs for a moment. He manages to speak.
And does he talk about the army? About Black Man Long?
Not directly, no. It's fascinating. He ignores the immediate military threat. His confession is entirely spiritual.
What does he say?
He blames his suffering on a yin quan, yin guilt, hidden sin, secret wrongdoing.
The kind of stuff only he and, I guess, the spirits would know.
Precisely. And then he names the source of his agony. He says he was struck by Yufei's ghost with a hammer, Zhili Yuchui.
Wait. He tells the emperor he's dying because Yufei's ghost hit him with a hammer. And he says he'll never see the emperor again.
That's what the text says. It's a huge admission. Essentially, blaming his impending death on supernatural retribution for his actions against Yufei.
So how do the court officials react to that? This is the chancellor confessing to, well, cosmic justice for treason right in front of them.
Well, this is where the pragmatism or maybe cynicism of politics kicks in. They basically ignore it.
Ignore the ghost hammer confession, really.
Seems so. For Zhang, Jun, and the others, the thousands of soldiers outside are the real problem. The ghost story. Politically messy, maybe unbelievable to them, definitely unhelpful.
So they just focus on the immediate threat.
Exactly. They come up with a delaying tactic. A lie, actually. They decide to pin the blame on Yufei's widow, Madame Lei.
Ah.
They'll claim these are her troops, Miao troops from Yunnan gone rogue. And they'll ask her to write a letter calling them off.
A false flag, while they try to shore up defenses.
That's the plan. It's a desperate gamble, hoping a letter travels faster than an army.
Okay, so while they're scrambling with letters and lies, Black Man Long isn't exactly waiting around.
Not at all. His advance is described with this great idiom. Shipu Wuzu.
Shredding bamboo, meaning unstoppable, right?
Completely. His army, all bright armor, reaches Fan Village right near Linan. Their shouts, shake the mountains. The pressure is immense.
Zhang Jun has to do something. He sends out General Wang Wu.
With 5,000 troops. But Black Man Long meets them head on. He rides out, repeats his demand. Surrender the chief offender, Jin Hui.
And he adds a threat.
A big one. He says if they don't hand Qin Hui over, he'll kill the Hunjin, the foolish, muddle-headed emperor.
Wow, that's crossing a line. So Wang Wu takes the challenge.
He does. They duel. But the text emphasizes Black Man Long's weapon. His iron hammer is extremely heavy.
Like, supernaturally heavy, tied to his righteous cause.
That's the strong implication. It's not just skill, it's the weight of justice. And the fight is short, fewer than 6 rounds.
And Wang Wu.
He's struck down. His skull is instantly crushed. Hao, Du Lu Fan Sui, pulverized.
Oof, that's brutal. It's a message.
Absolutely. Black Man Long then routs the rest of Wang Wu's troops easily.
And then he does something significant at Yufei's tomb.
Yes, he camps nearby at Qichiaoling and performs a Yu Guji, a weeping sacrifice, a formal mourning ceremony right there at the tomb.
Making it crystal clear, this is for Yufei. This is vengeance.
Exactly. It reinforces the legitimacy of his campaign in the eyes of anyone watching.
So General Zhang Jun sees this. Sees Wang Wu's fate, sees the ceremony. He must realize direct confrontation is useless.
He does. He recognizes Black Man Long as too ecce, Dio, too fierce, too brave, too powerful in combat. A hit on battle is suicide.
So if might won't work.
He turns to cunning. Deception. He approves a plan by another general, Wang Disheng.
And this is the famous trap at the lake.
Yes, Lake West. It's brilliantly theatrical. They take hundreds of tables.
Tables.
Hundreds of them. Turn them upside down, legs pointing up. Then they put straw men on them, holding torches, all set up on the lake surface.
Wait, how do they get tables to float on a lake? And hundreds? That sounds incredibly elaborate.
The logistics are kind of hand-waved in the text, but the idea is clear. It's about creating an illusion in the dark.
An illusion of what?
An illusion of solid ground, maybe an enemy camp lit by torches. Wang Gesheng then deliberately lures Black Man Long towards the lake at night.
And Black Man Long falls for it.
He does. He sees the lights reflected on the water, thinks it's land, spurs his horse forward.
And?
Pichung. That's the sound the text uses, a huge splash. He and his horse go straight into the water.
Undone by confidence and a clever trick.
Exactly. They fish him out, bind him with ropes, seize his super heavy hammers, his horse. The unstoppable force is stopped by illusion.
Okay, so Black Man Long is captured. Seems like the end of the vengeance campaign.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
But the story isn't quite done with him. As they're leading him away, probably across the famous 6 bridges near West Lake,
yeah,
a rescuer appears. A general on a white horse, silver spear flashing.
A dramatic entrance. Who is it?
Han Yanzi. And this is significant. He's the son of Marshal Han Xizong.
Another famous loyal general from Yufei's time. So this is like the old guard intervening.
Precisely. Han Yanzi apparently lived in seclusion, disgusted by Yufei's murder. He heard about Black Man Long's campaign and came to help. He kills the escort, Zhang Kun, and frees Black Man Long on the spot.
Wow, so the establishment, or at least the honorable part of it, is siding with the Avenger.
It seems so. And the two men immediately bond. They swear brotherhood right there.
Oh.
Using Gu Tuwei Chiang, scooped earth used as makeshift incense. A battlefield pledge. Black Man Long becomes the elder brother. Righteousness is regrouping.
Zhang Yun must have been furious his captive escaped.
Oh, undoubtedly. He's back to square one, maybe worse now with Han Yanzi involved. So he resorts to stalling again.
Diplomacy.
Sort of. He sends supplies, provisions to Black Man Long's camp. Makes nice. And he promises, again, to deliver Qing Hui. He sets a deadline, 10 days.
What's the excuse this time?
Claims the emperor is ill, things are complicated at court. Basically, buying time. He's still pinning his hopes on that letter from Madame Li arriving from Yunnan.
And does it?
It does? This is the real turning point. Madame Li, Yufei's widow, sends Zhang Ying with the letter.
And what does it say? Does she tell him to stand down?
It's more complex than that. She acknowledges his actions are righteous, his motives pure, but.
But.
But she insists that attacking the capital, threatening the emperor, even to get Qin Hui, it destroys Yufei's entire life's work, his reputation.
His Vanya Ziming, his name for loyalty and integrity.
Exactly that. She says continuing the siege would ruin that legacy forever. It would bring, quote, 10,000 generations of disgrace upon Yufei's name and by extension hers.
That's a powerful argument. She's essentially saying you're destroying the very thing you claim to avenge.
Precisely. It puts Black Man Long in an impossible position. He's a warrior who just smashed a general's skull and threatened the emperor. Why would a letter stop him now?
Yeah, why is this concept, the Zhang Yijiming, so powerful? More powerful than his hammer, apparently.
Because in that Song Dynasty context, Loyalty wasn't just a virtue, it was the absolute bedrock of the moral and political order. Yufei embodied it.
So attacking the capital, even for a just cause.
It would posthumously taint Yufei. It would make him look like he inspired rebellion, which ironically plays right into Qin Hui's original accusations against him.
Ah, I see. So Black Man Long has to choose personal vengeance for Yufei or preserving Yufei's perfect loyal legacy.
An agonizing choice. And the text says he's deeply moved, incredibly sorrowful. He admits he hates letting the traitor go.
But he yields.
He yields to the moral authority of the widow's plea, to the weight of Yufei's reputation. Mm. He performs one last ceremony at the tomb.
Another sacrifice.
Yes, a final one. And the next day, he withdraws his entire army. Returns to the outside world, as the text puts it. The military threat evaporates.
Okay, so the army withdraws. The immediate crisis is over. What happens back in the capital?
Well, Zhang Jin immediately goes back to Emperor Gazan.
Does he tell the truth about the letter, the withdrawal?
Absolutely not. He spins a complete fabrication. Claims he drove off the barbarians, that he fought fiercely, killed and chased them away. Pure fiction.
And the emperor buys it.
Hook, line, and sinker. Gao Zong is overjoyed, heaps rewards on Zhang Jun, promotes him to Grand Governor of Zhanyuan. The deceiver gets the earthly reward.
So injustice seems to prevail again in a way. But what about Tin Hui? He's still dying, right?
Oh, yes. The withdrawal of the army doesn't change his physical state. Zhang Jun, flush with his fake victory, goes to visit him.
How's Tin Hui?
Barely alive, jaws clenched tight, desperately ill. Zhang Jun probably tells him the good news about defeating Black Man Long and Jin Hui's reaction.
Not relief, not gratitude. He sees Zhang Jun and screams out.
What?
Yufei, spare my life. Yufei, Ramming.
Whoa. Even with the external threat gone, the internal terror is still peaking. He's still seeing Yufei.
It gets even creepier. The text adds this detail. Qin Hui's adopted son, Qin Shi, is in the room or nearby.
And he hears something.
Yes. The sound of iron chains. Chains. Like...
like underworld demons coming to collect a soul. That's the unmistakable implication. The sound of judgment arriving.
Good grief. What happens to Qin Hui then?
He tries to speak again, but he can't. Then he sticks out his tongue and bites it. Bites it to shreds.
Gino de Fensui. He dies right there, vomiting blood.
He bites his own tongue off. That's how he dies.
Bites it to shreds and dies from the trauma and blood loss. It's a horrific self-inflicted end. A final, visceral manifestation of that yin guilt he confessed to earlier. He isn't killed by Black Man Long's hammer, but by the horror within himself, triggered by the ghost.
Wow. The narrative really drives that home, doesn't it? There's a poem at the end summarizing it.
Yes, reinforcing the theme. The loyal general died unjustly, but divine retribution, Shen Renyi, spirits and men striking caught the traitor. His agonizing death was delayed, but inevitable and ultimately spiritual.